When the president escalates the war in Afghanistan, the fighting will be done by U.S. soldiers and Marines, paid by the taxpayer. But they'll fight and eat and sleep, outnumbered by private contractors.
Omar Sharif, CEO of Ujigas, the Ujigastani conglomerate. Terminate. Do that voodoo that you do so well. This is a historic moment, Hauser. The first war ever to be 100% outsourced to private enterprise.
War Inc. is one of those movies that's only funny because it leans so uncomfortably on the truth. In a corporate age, we've privatized war. And not just the laundry, even some of the shooting has been outsourced. If you want answers, should you call your congressman or go to a stockholders meeting? Follow the money, if you can. It's on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Friday, December 4th, and up from Washington, our friend Todd Zwillick is joining us. He's in for John Hockenberry, who is right now at this moment awaiting the newest member of his family. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Celeste. We call that Hockenberry version 5.0. We can't wait. On the show today, we'll have details about the unemployment numbers that come out at 8:30 this morning. And the president visits Allentown, Pennsylvania. He's talking about the economy. We'll talk to the mayor. But first, everything you need to know this morning.
In the headlines, looking ahead to the surge, Secretary State Hillary Clinton is in Brussels right now trying to coax NATO into sending more troops to Afghanistan. There are 40,000 NATO troops there now, with another 8,000 pledged for the new U.S. strategy. Meanwhile, new details about that strategy were fleshed out on Capitol Hill yesterday. Defense Secretary Robert Gates told senators that the withdrawal of U.S. troops will likely take 2 or 3 years, and there are no deadlines for when all the troops will be out. Gates also said he's received approval to boost the Afghan surge by as many as 3,000 support troops.
Where I have asked the president for some flexibility is in medics, in intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance, in counter IED capabilities.
Those numbers don't include the tens of thousands of military contractors already on the ground in Afghanistan, a number that's surely to rise as the new strategy is implemented with the buildup. For more on that, we're joined by Robert Young Pelton. He's former advisor to NATO in Afghanistan and author of License to Kill, Hired Guns in the War on Terror. Mr. Pelton, how are you?
Good morning, Tom.
Private military contractors were criticized for not being accountable in Iraq. Haven't we seen this movie before? Is there any more accountability in Afghanistan than there's been since 2003 in Iraq?
Well, they've got stronger contracts, but contractors have become smarter in how to do their things without getting into a lot of oversight. So they're getting smarter, and we just have to try harder to watch them.
They're getting smarter about hiding where they spend our money?
Yes, they're getting smarter in all ways. So it's a very advanced and a very mature business now.
All right, trying to keep our eye on the strategy and also trying to keep an eye on how private contractors are spending our money in the war. Robert Young Pelton, stay with us. We'll talk more to you in just a few moments.
Across the border in Pakistan, the White House has approved a plan to step up drone attacks against Taliban and al-Qaeda leaders. Our partner, The New York Times, says that attacks may be conducted outside tribal regions for the first time. And here at home, President Obama says yesterday's job summit at the White House was helpful.
We generated a lot of important ideas. Some of them I think we can translate immediately into administration plans and potentially legislation.
The president will be among those closely watching the November unemployment numbers when they're released later this morning. Economists expect the jobless rate to rise slightly or hold steady at 10.2%.
In Asia, the Nikkei rose for the fifth straight day, but the Hang Seng Index has dipped. This is in the markets. Wall Street will be looking at the unemployment numbers this morning when the markets open at 10,366, and the S&P opens up a fraction under 1,100. The NASDAQ is at 21.
Coming up later this hour, we're going to talk about movies and always a new trivia question for you. You've got the rest of this hour to answer this one. Not counting the new release, Everybody's Fine, name three other movies that Robert De Niro has starred in that are remakes. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can also call us about unemployment stories from the ground. How have you seen unemployment play out for you? Are the signs that people are going through good or bad times? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Hi, good morning. It's Todd Zwillick here filling in for John Hockenberry, who's at home welcoming his newest child into the world, and I'm here with Takeaway host Celeste Headley.
Good morning.
You might call American military contractors the absent presence in President Obama's speech on Tuesday announcing his new strategy in Afghanistan in the buildup. There will soon be 100,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan, but they'll be outnumbered by private contractors. It's not just the number of contractors that has a lot of people concerned, but it's the accountability about what they're doing and how they're spending our money. Who are they? Where's the money going? And can we check up on them? Well, joining us to talk about it is Robert Young Pelton, back with us. He's former advisor to NATO in Afghanistan and author of License to Kill, Hired Guns in the War on Terror. Also joining us is Allison Stanger. She's a professor at Middlebury College and author of One Nation Under Contract, The Outsourcing of American Power and the Future of Foreign Policy. Robert, I want to start with you. Most of us remember Blackwater. We might remember KBR from the Iraq War. What is this, beyond just security details, security that we may have heard about in Afghanistan, what's the scope of contracting work in Afghanistan now? What do they do?
Well, the major difference is that you have a lot more reconstruction, or actually construction projects, infrastructure, roads, schools, things like that, governance, and less actual security contractor work. And that's because of the environment in Afghanistan. Most of the security work is actually handled by Afghans, sort of brokered through either Western or Afghan companies. But what you're not seeing is this huge support mechanism for intelligence gathering, for support of troops, even movement and mobilization of troops. And, of course, the CIA, with their sort of secret war in Pakistan, extensively uses contractors to conduct drone attacks, intelligence gathering, and things like that.
And because that mission is clandestine by its very nature, we're extremely unlikely to know what the private contractors are doing.
Well, you'll find out about it because they work with Afghans, and Afghans are chatty fellows. So folks like Eric Prince think that they keep secrets, but most people know what his company's doing over there.
Allison Stanger, I want to ask you, how accountable are military contractors? Accountable at all? War is, by definition, murky business. When the money starts to flow to private companies who have proprietary interests, is there any way we can find out whether they're spending our money in the way we want?
Yeah, well, there's a great way you can find out. You can go to something called usaspending.gov, which is available at www.usaspending.gov, and it's available because of legislation that President Obama pushed through as a center. It'll tell you everywhere all you need to know about prime contracts. But the problem with Afghanistan is that most of these contracts are turned around and then doled out as subcontracts,
right?
So the things Robert's talking about.
You can find out the top lines where the prime contractor is, but then once they spend it on whoever they're hiring, whether they're Afghans or more Americans, it gets murky.
That's right, and it's shrouded in secrecy. That information was supposed to be available to the public by January 1st, 2009. But if you go to that website and click on subcontracts, you'll find that it says it's under construction.
Now, Allison Stanger,
that's something that concerns me.
Well, in terms of accountability, Allison Stanger, let me ask you about the Armed Contractor Oversight Directorate, part of the Pentagon, and they, as far as I know, are tasked with keeping an eye on where taxpayer money is going in the military. But I understand that a lot of their work for oversight is outsourced.
That's correct. I mean, we're currently in a situation in both Iraq and Afghanistan where the work of contractors is actually overseen by a contractor.
Is there anything more to this than just bitter irony? I mean, my question is this, the fact that taxpayer-funded oversight inspectors general are not doing this down to the level of some subcontractors, is that something to be concerned about?
Well, Secretary Gates has even referred to it as willy-nilly contracting. And I think what you're seeing is that there was this mission to be accomplished. It was huge and ambitious. And so we turned the Pentagon turned to contractors to execute it as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And we're only now beginning to see what the consequences of that sort of strategy brings.
Well, Robert Young Pelton, former NATO advisor in Afghanistan, you mentioned that a lot of the contractors that we hire now are Afghans, both for security and for other contracting work. And I want you to listen to something that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said before the Foreign Relations Committee yesterday, asked about this, that we're outsourcing work to Afghans, and that's a good thing because we want them enrolled in what we're trying to do. But it can also have complications. Listen to the Secretary.
Much of the corruption is fueled by the money that has poured into that country over the last 8 years. we are so dependent upon long supply lines as we are in Afghanistan, where everything has to be imported. You offload a ship in Karachi, and by the time whatever it is, you know, muffins for our soldiers' breakfasts or anti-IED equipment gets to where we're headed, it goes through a lot of hands.
Robert Young-Pelton, it goes through a lot of hands. The Afghans, the way they do business traditionally might not be the way we're used to doing business in the U.S. Is this a concern?
Yeah, it goes bigger than that, though, because, for example, in Afghanistan, if you're a soldier and you need an interpreter, they bring an American Afghan and they pay him $960 a day to interpret for a $1,200 a day U.S. contractor. So when the Afghans are being accused of corruption, they point to things like that and say, you're stealing all the money before it even gets to us. So it's not just a matter of people taking bits and pieces from sort of the friction of spending money there. It's our ridiculous idea that we're going to hire people for $150,000 a year to supervise Afghans who make, you know, $400 a month.
And then where does the rest of the money go? Well, that's Robert Young-Pelton, former advisor to NATO in Afghanistan, author of License to Kill, Hired Guns in the War on Terror. We're also joined by Allison Stanger, professor at Middlebury College. She's author of One Nation Under Contract, The Outsourcing of American Power and the Future of U.S. Foreign Policy. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, now let's check in on some of the stories we're following at 15 minutes past the hour.
Americans' allies in NATO have committed 7,000 new troops to Afghanistan. That news in the past few minutes. It comes as Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Brussels for a meeting with NATO. Here's the NATO chief, Anders Rasmussen.
If this international effort is to succeed, and it will, it must be a true team effort.
We'll be hearing comments from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton a little later. Meanwhile, in the U.S., Defense Secretary Robert Gates says the Afghan strategy outlined by President Obama has some room for maneuvering. Secretary of Gates says he may want to add as many as 3,000 more support troops to Afghanistan on top of the 30,000 already ordered there.
My hope is that I won't need to use much of any of it, but trying to look ahead a year or more, I felt that having some flexibility was important.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee yesterday.
Staying in the Capitol, President Obama says he was inspired by the first White House jobs forum on Thursday.
There's no question that it is difficult out there right now, but we also heard some exciting ideas and proposals for how we can spur hiring today and lay the groundwork for sustainable economic growth in the future.
The Labor Department releases November unemployment figures this morning. And finally, here's Scooby.
Scooby, Scooby-Doo, looking for you. Scooby, Scooby-Doo, where are you?
The songwriter who wrote those classic lyrics, Alan Schroeder, has died. Schroeder wrote the Elvis Presley hit It's Now or Never and about 2,000 other songs. 2,000. He also worked with Jimi Hendrix and Barry White. Schroeder was 84. Coming up, we take a trip to the emergency room where we can get around the a ground look at America's healthcare crisis. That's in a few minutes.
And we're also going to be talking movies as we do every single Friday. We have a trivia question for you as we do every Friday. And you have the whole rest of the hour to think about this one. Robert De Niro is starring in the new movie Everybody's Fine. And we're asking you, not counting that movie that's coming out, name three other films that Robert De Niro has starred in that are remakes. Give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Also, we're asking you about unemployment numbers. There's the unemployment numbers coming out for the past month, for November, and we want you to tell us, how have you seen unemployment playing out in your town? What are the signs that people are doing well? What are the signs that people are doing not so well? And what about your social safety net? Are there holes in the net that saves you from disaster? Let us know, 8778-MY-TAKE, or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.